Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this day. Today we're going to be reflecting upon an interesting interaction with Jesus and a woman who's not an Israelite, and kind of that dynamic there and what's going on, a Syrophoenician woman. And so we'll be pondering on what that means for who is God and who is it that God is with respect to his people. By much as stands, we begin our service as we always do, beginning, remembering our baptism, beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord, that we get to gather and worship in your house and in your name. Lord, I pray that you would speak your word to us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit teach us and put it in our hearts so that we may know you better and worship you, Lord, as the amazing God that you are. All this we pray this morning in your name. Amen. Let's confess our sins together. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Of the Lord, There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your
Jesus, my Redeemer, there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold. Hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side the Savior He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hope. And day by day, know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I
morning. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders, and it's my privilege to read the scripture for you today. Our first reading is Isaiah 56, 1, 6, and then 6 through 8. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without degrading it, who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house will be called house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
The text for the message today comes from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to that lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. It's now time for the children's message. So kids, if you guys would come forward at this time, Miss Dinas has the message for us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are we this morning? Are we good? You guys want to have a seat right there on the floor? That way I don't trip over you. All right. Well, I brought something with me this morning. I have a piece of bread, and if you were really hungry, would this little crumb fill you up? No, probably not. So our story today is about a mom who came to listen to Jesus, and she needed her daughter to be healed. And she said, Jesus, please heal my daughter. And Jesus didn't answer right away. And then the disciples said, send her away. But the lady, she didn't go away, and she asked again, and Jesus didn't answer. But Jesus said, my job right now is to feed the children of Israel. So it's kind of like, my job right now is to tell all the people about how wonderful God is. And then the lady didn't get frustrated or angry. She just said, yes, Lord, but even the master's dogs eat the crumbs. And by that, she meant that, yes, Lord, even just a little bit of your power is wonderful, and it would heal my daughter. And Jesus was just amazed at her answer and at her faith, and that she trusted him so much. He said, because of your faith, your daughter is being healed. And her daughter was healed. So what does that mean for us? Do you know what it means? It means that we don't ever want to lose our power. We don't ever want to lose that power we know that Jesus has. We don't ever want to lose that faith. We all know that there's going to be trouble, right? Jesus didn't say you won't have trouble, but in those times of trouble, he says, I will give you the strength that you need. So, how do we talk to God and tell him about those troubles? How do we talk to God? Catherine? We pray. You're right. We pray. And something that I find helpful is if I write down my prayers. Because do you know what? When I write down those prayers, I can look back and I can see how God answered those prayers. So today, I have a prayer journal for each of you to take home. Now, I know all of you cannot write yet, but you can draw a picture of your prayers, and you can have mom and dad help you write the date on it, and then you can look back, and you can see God's power working in your life. All right, can you pray with me? Can you repeat after me? You fold your hands. Oh, I love it. Good job. Dear Jesus, help me to always trust in you. Thank you for being with me in times of trouble. I love you, Jesus. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do for you. I love that song. How big is your God? At first thought, I imagine what might go to your mind is, well, amazingly big, amazingly great, amazingly powerful. He created all things. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, as it is written. In the beginning, God simply said, let there be light. One of the most confusing, complicated things in our physical universe came into being. And yet, this is the question I put before you as we read through God's word today. Not because I think you should question it, but rather a question of, as we read, what are the perceptions of the people we're reading about? As you read through the Gospels, I find it can be tempting at times in our world where we're used to episodes, you know, where you have, well, this episode and has kind of a thought to it and a kind of a rise and a fall, and then this episode of TV shows. We can read through the Gospels kind of like an episode. In other words, maybe there's a connection between it, or like most of the cartoons that my kids watch, you can pull any random one out and it's not going to impact something you saw before or what you might miss in the future. And yet, really, as John says it in his gospel, these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And at the very end of his gospel, he notes, you know, Jesus did so many things that if all of them were written down, I can't imagine that the whole world would be filled with stories of Jesus. In other words, there was so much worth saying that he did. I can't imagine spending one day with Jesus and be like, that was a boring day. Nothing happened worth writing down. So the point I'm making is that the writers of the Gospels were very selective in picking this story or this saying and putting it together for us to read and meditate and understand what is it that God's trying to communicate with his word. It's in that context, then, that I want to read you how Matthew 15 begins, ahead of the gospel reading that was read today. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And it's interesting, this is not the first time that the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the religious leaders of the day come to Jesus as if accusing him through his disciples. There's this time where they're going about and the disciples on a Sabbath, when you're not supposed to do any work, are picking heads of grain and eating them. And, you know, Sabbath was commanded by God. So Jesus is questioned by the religious leaders, why are your disciples breaking the Sabbath? And now you have it where, well, why are the disciples not keeping the tradition of the elders? In other words, as I read this, I feel like, though they probably wouldn't describe this way, their view of God is very small. Of course, they esteem God as being the creator of them and the creator of all things and has ordained this is the way to life. And yet, God is so transactional that if you fail to do this ritual and practice right, or you fail to say this prayer just right, or you fail to keep this thing just right, then that's so much of a problem that you lose favor with God. But it goes on, and Jesus takes this interaction with the Pharisees and scribes, and he tries to help them to see a bigger picture of things. He says, you're so focused on this one command, this tradition, rather, of the elders. But he says, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? And he goes on to say, God commanded honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, well, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you have gained from me, well, I gave that to God. In other words, instead of caring for you, father and mother, who cared for me on my growing up, I have taken that, I've given that to God. How much better that is. Meanwhile, neglecting perhaps the needs of your elderly father and mother. And for the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God. And you have this story here, this interaction of Jesus with religious leaders juxtaposed coming right before then this story of a foreigner. It says, Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. And now I want to pause there for a second. If you read through Matthew's gospel, this is not the first person to address him as Lord. It's not the first person to address him as son of David. And yet earlier on in the gospel, with the exception of one individual, the people who come to him and say, Lord, please help me, Jesus helps them. And even the one who calls him Lord doesn't so much ask for Jesus' help, but rather he says, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go do this thing. And everyone who calls Jesus the son of David receives a favorable response by Jesus. In other words, an acknowledgement, you get it. You see what is happening here. God has revealed to you the truth. It'll be as you asked. Your faith has led you to this. Yet with this woman, she says the right words. And admittedly, I don't know why Jesus responds the way he does. The best I can do is infer. You know, I've heard before, maybe he's testing this woman. She said the right things. Does she really believe the truth of what she's saying? And maybe it's that. Or again, you have here, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. and he doesn't answer her a word. His disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And I wonder if perhaps that is what's going on. What I mean by that is, this is not the only time Jesus' disciples come to Jesus thinking that they know what is best in the scenario and say, "Jesus, send this person or send these people away." Not too long ago, we were reminded a couple weeks ago about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it's a large crowd. They're in the wilderness. And the disciples say, "Hey, Jesus, it's getting late. We don't have food for these people. Send them away." Or not too far after this account in Matthew's gospel will be another feeding of 4,000 of primarily Gentiles in the Decapolis. And there, I think maybe the disciples learned a little bit. They don't do it immediately, but it's like by the third day that they're like, "Jesus, we should probably send these people away, right? It's getting late. We've been learning from you for so long. We're out of food." Or fast forward to another time where it says people are bringing little children to Jesus, and the disciples are trying to send them away. Jesus doesn't have time for those people. And yet every time that this seems to happen, there's a pattern where Jesus says, "No, you don't quite get it yet. There's something else at play here." And so admittedly, I wonder if it's that. But in truth, I don't know exactly the motivation for Jesus responding this way. But regardless, we know how it plays out. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And truth, that's congruent with an earlier time where Jesus sent out the 12 disciples and said, only go to the places in Israel. Only go to the lost sheep of Israel at that time. But she came and knelt before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." And Jesus answered, "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And admittedly, to my ears, that sounds a bit harsh, but as I said before, I don't know all that is guiding this. Is it a test of her? Is it a test of the disciples and their perhaps faulty thinking? But regardless, her response is such a profound response of faith that Jesus will shortly hereafter commend her. She doesn't argue with Jesus. She doesn't say, "How dare you call me a dog?" She just says, "Yes, Lord. It is as you've described it." In other words, you're saying you have a purpose in who you have come to serve, and I don't fit the brief. Yet at the same time, what she says is that even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. If you're going to call me a dog, then I'm going to talk about how it is that the table of the one who is providing for is so abundant that even I get the scraps. In other words, I've read about and I've heard stories of people who lived through the Great Depression. People with far more kids than I have. 8, 9, 10, 12. In those days, you got your ration of food, and there, I imagine, was not a single crumb to be had under that floor. Every bite was taken meticulously and with care, at the same time swift enough so that a sibling wouldn't come and steal your food. There's no crumbs falling for the dogs to eat there. No, what this depicts in my mind is an abundance. The people who are there dining at the table receive such an abundance of food that there are crumbs falling. That the dogs who are there can partake even of that. Or to say it differently, what this woman is esteeming, what she is stating as truth, is that the blessings of God are so profound that not just the one to whom they are given receives the benefit, but even those who are around receive blessing. This is an amazing statement about who the God of the universe is, and her perspective of God was that he was massive. that he cared not only for his chosen people, Israel, but that he truly cared for all humanity. And this is not a sudden thing. In other words, she didn't just come up with this herself. God himself proclaimed this. Our first reading from Isaiah. It says, "The foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." Or go even further back, though many of the prophets testify to that the God of the universe cared not just for his chosen people, but for all peoples. All the way back to the calling of Abraham, when he was still just Abram. And God says, I am going to bless you. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. And through you, Abram, all the families, all the clans, all the peoples of the earth will be blessed. In other words, from the onset of choosing a particular people for God's plan, he said, the purpose of this is not just that I might take one, show favoritism to them above all else, and hold everyone else down. But rather the design was that through this one, all the earth will be blessed. Because that is the abundant love of God. God's love overflows not just to the individual, but outward and onward. And so I ask again, how big is your God? Because I think at times while we can conceptually recognize and say, yes, he is big, but oftentimes I think we relegate God to, well, he's big in these big picture things. He made me and all creatures. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He sanctifies me and keeps me in the true faith. But that's all on those big things up there that God is taking care of. But on these little things like daily bread, well, abstractly, he provides for that. But then something unexpected comes in and you're saying, how can I deal with this now? How can I deal with this emotionally? How can I deal with this physically? How can I deal with this spiritually? How can I deal with this relationally? How can I deal with everything that's going on? Well, God's way up there. He's big. And we're tempted to think, what does God really care about me down here? My trivial problems are too low for God. But that's not who God has revealed himself to be. The psalm says, who is man that you are mindful of him, God, the son of man that you would care about him? And yet God has made each and every one of you in his image, in his likeness. He said, this is my plan for you, a plan of hope and a future. This is the God who walks alongside of you every step of the way in everything that you are facing. What's astounding as well to me is as you read God's word, his plan of an overflowing of love doesn't just end with you. But just as he called Abram and said, through you all the nations will be blessed. To each and every one of you, God says, I will bless you and guide you, but for the purpose not just for you to be elevated, but rather that in blessing you, God would bless the people around. Because even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In other words, the abundant love of God is so great that it's not just for those who do the right rituals and say the right prayers and do the right things. Not just for those who say that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. But God loves also those who do not yet know him, who do not yet know the joy that is following him. And part of why God blesses you is so that you might go forth and bless others. You are invited to join God in his mission to reach those who do not know of him. And this is an honor and a privilege. This is an astounding delight. So rejoice this day, knowing that everything that you at times struggle with, you do not struggle alone. But you have a God who knows you and walks with you. A God who does love you and cares for you. And know that this same God who blesses you also does so in order that these blessings might flow out to those around you. For this is how the economy of God works. Amen.
Try to rule the world you made, but we know power is yours alone to give and take. A day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, both now and forever.
In the Lord.
Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. If our school teachers and Megan could come forward at this time. All right. Well, as you guys come forward, you know, what we have received from our God is absolutely astounding. This message of salvation, this thing that changes our life, this thing that changes us from an enemy of God into a disciple of God, this thing that gives us and assures us forgiveness of sins, this message of God, this grace from Christ, this salvation won by the death of Christ, that Jesus was not content to let us go to hell, but he did everything necessary that we would be saved. Such an incredible message that we have received. And folks, I'm talking to all of you right now. Our job is to do something about it. All right? If you're ever wondering what to do, look at the cross. Right? Because of everything Jesus has done for us, because of the salvation that God has given us, therefore, you are mine. Love as I have loved you. Forgive because I have forgiven you. Make disciples of all nations. Go baptize, teach, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, do good to all, serve with joy. Give thanks always. Do not store up treasures on earth. Be united in love. Once you get that done, come back, I'll give you more. Guys, this is our job. Right? Now, the trouble is we have a hard time doing all of those things, right? Some of you are not fit to teach children. You know, you kind of understand, right? We need people who will specialize. And these people that are in front of us today, their job is to teach. They teach about the world, they'll teach the days of the week, their colors, the, you know, math and literature and history and science and all the things that you learn in school. But underneath all of those things, tying all those things together by the God who gave us all of those things, they teach the gospel. They teach the love of God. They're doing it in your place and in your name. You understand that, right? Because this list is given to all of us. These people are our specialists to do this job. We owe them grateful love. We owe them prayer. We owe them support. We owe them encouragement. Will you guys do this for them? Got to answer at this point. Excellent. Very good. Very good. And teachers, because of everything that God has done for us, because he has shown his unbelievable compassion and love that changed our lives, will you pass this message on? Along with all the other things that you need to teach in school, will you pass this message on to the little people that you get to serve? Yes. Excellent. Let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, what an incredible God you are, that you have given us this message of salvation, that you have given us the work of passing this message on, that you have sent us, Lord, these amazing gifted people, Lord, who who love you and love these children. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give them wisdom, patience, and everything that they need, Lord, so that they can serve you by loving these children and teaching them everything you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. You guys can sit down. With that, let's stand up as we pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you so much that you have become such an incredible part of our lives, Lord, that when we were lost, you came and found us, and that because you have found us, Lord, your power, your glory is revealed in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help us to faithfully turn to you in all circumstances, because you are the God who is in control of all things, and you will make you, Lord, continue to work in our lives and care for us, your people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work among all the levels of government, but Lord, today, especially our local government, Lord, our mayor and our aldermen and our firefighters and our policemen and everybody, Lord, who works so hard to serve us in our local community, Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless them and their families, Lord. Give them all they need. Help us to love and support them as they serve us. Lord, I pray that you would be with all those in the congregation who are sick, infirm, injured. Lord, that you would continue to give them strength, that you would bind them up, Lord, that you would get them, help them find medical attention that they need, that you would help them do what the doctor tells them to do, that you would, Lord, just continue to provide for us, Lord, with health and healing. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the families of our congregation, Lord. We pray for all the little people, Lord, the people who are pouring into, Lord, with this focused discipleship so that they can know you better and love you better every day, Lord. And to make this possible, Lord, I pray that every single person in our church would continue to grow in faith, faithfully, being in their scriptures, Lord, so that your Holy Spirit can continue to raise them up and guide them and bring them to a place of greater health. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you.
My friends, we have now received once again his body and blood, and with it the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that he died to give us. And so as we know his promise is true, depart in peace to serve him with joy. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior. Find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender.
Savior, he can move the mountains.
Well, thank you again for joining us in worship this morning. I'd like to dismiss all children who are planning to go to Sunday school to go ahead and meet DCE Lauren Bates in the back, and she'll get you over there. But a couple quick things I want to note. We have a bulletin insert for youth stuff. They're actually both one side that is less colorful is about just our youth group, 7th through 12th grade events for those youth. And so take a look at that. And then the more colorful side is for 3rd through 6th grade youth group junior. And so there's going to be quarterly events for them. The first one is actually going to be October 4th. And then we have January 10th and April 11th there. If you'd like more information about either of those, you can talk to me or you can talk to Lauren Bates, and we can give you more information about either side. As well, I want to note we're continuing our Bible study series, our video series we've been doing on Can I Trust the Bible? And today we're going to be talking about the importance of the Council of Nicaea and kind of forming together the books and how... One of the questions that's out there is, well, did Constantine actually, put together a Bible and make Jesus God? And so it's going to kind of debunk some of that. And so I encourage all of you to consider sticking around for that. But otherwise, again, thank you for joining us today. I pray you have a blessed week, and hopefully it gets cooler. God be with you.